I have good news for you tonight, brothers and sisters. There's just one preacher tonight. The bad news is that one preacher is me. As Elder Boyd was preaching to us this morning on the resurrection, and a very good message, then again, it's kind of hard to preach a bad sermon on the resurrection. If you can, then you're just not called to preach, in my estimation. It got my mind thinking about things that I've been thinking about for the past couple of weeks. And those things were brought to my mind from a sermon preached by Elder Blanchard on the resurrection. The name of his sermon was "The Resurrection Changes Everything." I never really thought about that, but as he went through his sermon, it just really brought that to my mind. And then, as I was driving home from that meeting, I asked myself this question, and I've been asking myself this question for the past 2 weeks. What if there is no resurrection? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if that was the truth? What if there is no resurrection? We really don't have to imagine very much, because the Apostle Paul addressed that in 1 Corinthians 15. And speaking to people who did not believe that there was a resurrection. And that just completely amazed the Apostle Paul, and it amazes me for people not to believe that. He says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 16, "For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." And then verse 19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." I think that really crystallizes how it would be. You know, if all we had in life was just this life, that'd be a pretty sad life. It'd be a pretty sad existence. Because the Bible is full of verses that tell us there's more to life than just this life. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls this life a pilgrimage. And there's so many verses that talk about how quick and how brief this life is. It tells us that we're the flower that blooms and quickly fades away. It says we're like smoke out of a chimney that just is visible for a moment and is gone. Our life is called a pilgrimage, a brief, quick journey. That's just brought to my attention the older that I get, because the older I get, the older I get. That's a profound thought, isn't it? Well, it really is, because life just seems to really pick up speed as you get older. It took me forever to get to the age of 18. And then it seems like in a few days, I was 40. I thought I'd never get to 18. And then I turn around, and I got 4 kids, a wife, 2 dogs, a mortgage, and I'm 40 years old. That was just this morning. This afternoon, I'm 47 years old. It's so quick. And I'd hate to think if that was it, if that's all that I had. As much as I love my wife and kids, but I'm looking for something more. I have an expectation of eternity. And not just eternity, but an eternity with Jesus Christ in paradise. You think about how slim our songbooks would be. You take out so many songs like "There Is Coming a Day." You rip that one out. "When We All Get to Heaven." We can't sing that one anymore. on and on and on in any song that talks about heaven, because if there is no resurrection, there is no heaven. There is no eternity. And really, there would be two options. The first option would be we would just be annihilated. We'd just cease to be. Or the second, we'd all go to hell. Now, how would you like to sing that one? When we all get to hell. What a day of mourning that will be. Well, you feel like coming to church on Sunday morning. And Brother Ronald would talk about, well, we're all going to hell someday. We might as well just enjoy life like we got now, because it's going to end. And when it ends, we're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Whew, boy, I want to think about that. But if Jesus Christ had not come down and taken our sins upon him and paid our sin debt and died and rose from the grave and defeated death, that's exactly where we'd be going. We'd all be universalists. We'd all be going to the same place. And we wouldn't be working to get there. We're there already. We're there by the fact that we're depraved sinners. So if there be no resurrection, if there be no paradise, you might as well just make all the money you can and spend every dime of it. Because when you die, the fun is over and the misery begins. I think it would all affect us differently if there is no resurrection, if there is no paradise, if Christ be not risen. Me and my wife were talking about that, and her perspective would be that she would do good in her life and try to make a difference in the time that she had. And she's a much better Christian than I am, because my reaction would be, well, just forget it. I'm going to have as much fun as I can. I'm not going to leave my kids a dime. I'm spending it all. You think I'm going to leave them anything? Why, they can get out and work for it like I did, because I'm going to spend it all. I'm going shopping. I'm going to subscribe to every cable there is. I'm going to town. I'm having fun. Because eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I wouldn't care about calories. I wouldn't go to the gym. I wouldn't care about, you know, going to the dentist or taking care of my health. And I certainly wouldn't care about doing good. I'm being honest. I wouldn't care about anybody. I'd care completely about me. I would be self-absorbed. It would be all about David Montgomery. Get out of my lane. Get out of my way, because I'm going to mow you down. I'm not going to spend an ounce of time on you, because time is precious. Because when this life is over, it's over. So I want all the good that I can get right now. But you know what? In spite of all that fun I'd be having, in spite of all that glorious shopping and all that just gathering in of possessions and enjoying what they give me, I would still be most miserable. Because the greatest joy that I have in life is gone. I'm not bragging about me, because there's not much to brag about. I say this bragging on the Lord. I think about the resurrection in heaven every day that I live. It gives me marvelous pleasure to think about when this life is over. You know, when this life is over and I'm here no more, I'll live on. The glorious hope of endless rest is pleasing news to me. And I think about what heaven must be like. You know, when I see Jesus face to face. And you know, when I'm blessed with his presence, and when I know even as I am known, when I see him as he is, I'll pray him, I'll praise him as I always wanted to. Oh, what joy. I think about that. And if he came back right now, that'd be wonderful. That'd be fine with me. What a way to end the meeting, right? With a resurrection. We'll have this meeting up in heaven. Wouldn't that be great? Say, well, you left two kids in Texas. What about them? I'll meet them up there. I don't have to go back to Texas to get them. We'll see each other going up. Ben and Sam, y'all follow me. Y'all know where to go. There's the Lord. We're going to meet him in the clouds. And we meet him in the clouds. And there's the Lord. And he says, come in, ye blessed of the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. Oh, what beautiful words those are. And then the real beauty when he opens heaven to us and we enter in. That day is a reality. That day is coming. I believe that that day is going to happen. I don't know if I'll make it back to Texas. I don't know if I'll make it back to Brother Ronald's house. But I know that day is going to occur. That day is assured. And because that day is going to happen, I am not miserable. I am very happy. And if I never have a good day in this life, I have a lot to be thankful for, and I have a lot to praise my Lord for. So the resurrection is a reality. And the Bible wants us to believe about that, else the Bible wouldn't teach it. And there's so many scriptures that teach what is going to transpire on the last day. The Bible does not want us to be focused so much with right now. Because if there was no resurrection, all we would have is right now. And the Bible says there's more to right now than just right now. And I'm glad about that. Because sometimes right now ain't so good. Excuse the ain't, but I say that for emphasis' sake. Right now, sometimes it's pretty lousy. It's pretty bad. It's pretty sad. There are things that happen in this life that are not pleasant. What would you do in the death of a loved one if there was no resurrection? What would you say? There would be no comfort. There would be sorrow without comfort. Can you imagine what that would be like? The preacher would get up and say, well, just be glad you're not what this brother is. Can you imagine that? No, that brother is no more, so you better go out and enjoy it, because one of these days you're going to be right there in that casket and you're not going to be around. There's no comfort in that, is there? There's no joy in that. There's no thrilling news. But yet, when David lost his little baby, the comfort of the resurrection gave him the ability to get through that ordeal. When he said, he cannot come to me, but I shall go to him. Now, I've heard that preached. David was talking about the grave. Well, for Pete's sake, what kind of comfort is that? His little baby's in the tomb. Well, one of these days, I'm going to go to the tomb with him. Wow, thanks a lot, David. I really needed that. No, David was talking about paradise. He was talking about heaven. That baby is with the Lord. Jesus would have been a liar too when he told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He meant that very day. The thief was with Jesus in paradise. That tells us there's no such thing as soul sleeping. That tells us that there is such thing as paradise, and that tells us that Jesus is there. There's no levels of heaven, there's no levels of paradise, because where Jesus is heaven. And so we'll be with Jesus, and we'll be with the thief. We'll see the thief up there. I want to meet that thief. Hey, brother thief, tell me about it. I'm going to see him up there. Really, I mean, I'm serious. You think I'm kidding? Because the Lord said that thief is there. We know at least two people that are in heaven, the thief and Jesus Christ. But I know a lot more that are up there. So my beloved, We're not, or we should not be, of all men most miserable, but we should have hope of that day that is coming. And we should look at and consider what the Lord has done for us, what He is doing for us, and what He's going to do for us in that day. And not be so focused as of right now what's going on today. John Gill calls that an animalistic view of life. And I wonder what he meant by that. And then I started to think about how the animals think. I have two dogs, and I study human nature in my dogs. You'll get it about midnight tonight. I study my dogs. They give me a lot, well, they're giving me at least one right now, sermon illustration. I can pet one dog for an hour and turn around and pet the other one, and the other dog gets jealous. Where's mine? What about me? I can give one dog a T-bone steak and then later give the other dog a crust of bread, and the dog that got the steak says, hey, wait a minute, where's mine? They don't understand about the past or the future. They just live for right now. How would you like to live life for just right now? There's more to life than just right now. I want to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 14, and what is called the parable of the sower. Now, there's many interpretations, or several interpretations, and whatever interpretation Brother Ronald preaches to you, believe that one. But tonight, amen me, okay? If I'm different than Brother Ronald, amen me, and then amen Brother Ronald later. Here's the way I look at it. There are four types of ground that the sower casts his seed upon. One is the stony ground. One is the wayside. One is where the thorns are. And the other is the good ground. And the purpose of that is that we need to be the good ground. But my interpretation is this. You don't have to agree, but you do have to love me. My interpretation is this. Sometimes we can be the other ground. All right, I got one amen. And I pay good money for amens. All right, sometimes we can be the stony ground. Sometimes we can be the thorny ground. Sometimes we can be the wayside. The purpose of this parable is to warn us against the three and to point us toward the good ground. All right, Brother Ronald agrees, so we're in sync with this parable. Now listen to what he has to say about the thorny ground. This is found in verse 14 of the 8th chapter of Luke. He says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life." Get that? This life. "And bring no fruit to perfection." All right, these are the three things that get us in life. Number one, the cares or the stresses and worries of this life. Life is a bunch of stress. It's going to keep on being stressful until the day we die. That's the way it is. You're always going to have stress. You talk to everybody. You got stress? Oh, I sure do. The only person I've ever met that didn't have stress or somebody that's dead. They don't have any stress. All right, they're with the Lord. But we living folks are going to have stress. Sometimes we let the stresses or cares or worries of life choke out the joy of the gospel. Sometimes that happens. All right, we have financial problems, family problems, work-related problems, you know, political things, church problems. And sometimes we just get so worried and concerned about that that we lose the hope of the one day when everything is going to be all right. Because that is what keeps me going. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You've let the stress of life choke out the joy of the resurrection. You need to get the hoe or some Roundup after those thorns. Secondly, are the riches. Sometimes we get all caught up in making money or, you know, the accumulation of possessions that we forget that from whence they came from and to whom we owe all things to, and that is the Lord himself. And we also forget that one of these days, everything is going to be burned up. That's the way it is. You're not going to carry your grandfather's pocket watch to paradise with you. I'm sorry. Your grandmother's china is going to be burned up. That you got locked up in that china closet and would spank your kids if they even looked in that direction is going to be burned up. So you might as well, as Elder Lonnie Mazingo says, Senior, you might as well get it out and use it. Use it right now. Enjoy it now because you can't take it with you. I taught my children this a long time ago. There was a lady in Texas that loved her vintage antique Mercedes-Benz, and she loved it so much that she was buried with it. Now, think about that. I think that lady was choked with possessions because that Mercedes-Benz is still in the ground and it's doing nobody any good. Or sometimes we get choked with pleasures. That's the immoral lusts, and it doesn't even have to be immoral, just pleasures of life that we put too much emphasis on instead of our service to God. Let that thing become the focus of our life, and we lose the most important thing we've got, and that is our joy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to think about weeding those things out, that we would be the good ground, therefore that we would produce fruit. And so the thing that we need to think about is the day that is coming, because there's a day that is coming when we won't have any stress, any worries, any concerns. The only thing that we'll have is the Lord and the Lord. That sounds good to me. Looking forward to that. I mean, just having the Lord, seeing the Lord, touching the Lord. You know, I get jealous of John when he says, that which we have seen, which our ears have heard, which our hands have handled, the word of life. And I'm saying, I'm jealous, John, because I want to be you. I want to see Christ. I would like to hear him. I would have loved to have heard the Sermon on the Mount. You were there, and I'm jealous. But someday we'll see him. Someday we'll hear him. Someday we'll handle him. What a day that will be. All right? No stress, no worries, no concerns. Someday, as far as riches are concerned, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I talk about my house that I've just completely messed up. One day I'm going to be in a mansion someday. You know, he said that, right? Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. Therefore, it's so. You may live in a wreck like I do, that I've wrecked. It's my fault and your fault and your fault. you may have that situation. But let me tell you this, beloved, you're going to a place that was built by the Master himself. And you're going to be with the Lord. And as far as pleasures, someday you're going to breathe your life out sweetly there. Someday your soul is going to be satisfied. Someday you're going to be completely content. You're going to want or lack for nothing. You're going to have the best that there is. The best thing that can happen to you is that you're going to go to heaven. And that is going to happen. So we often think about, oh, the worst thing. What's the worst thing that can happen to us? You want to know what the worst thing that can happen to you? That you die right now and go to hell? That puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? I'm not going to be able to make this much, car payment. Well, it's better than dying and going to hell. Right? Right? Yeah. I've got surgery coming up. Well, it's better than dying and going to hell. Right? You know, the worst thing that can happen to you won't happen to you because you've been saved by the blood of Christ. What are you worried about? What are you concerned about? What are you stressed about? What are you worried about? What are you worried about? Stop worrying. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Because the best thing that can happen to you is that you're going to die and go to heaven. Or he's going to come back and you're going to be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. Both are all right. I'll take both of them. That's right. A double dose. I'll take two scoops of that. That sounds good to me. That day's going to happen. The best thing that's going to happen to you will happen to you. So all the stresses, all the pleasures, and all the riches of life, forget about it. You've got something to look forward to. Stop being so concerned about this life. Now, I'm not saying don't be concerned about it at all, but don't be so living focused on it that you forget what's coming. I'd like to turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, around, I believe, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, in this portion of Scripture I'm going to read, talks about things that happened in the past. He talks about things that are happening right now. And he talks about things that are coming. That's a good philosophy. All right, listen to what the Apostle Paul has to say. Let's see, where do I need to go? All right, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Just let me make a comment. The Apostle Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. If there is no resurrection, the Apostle Paul is the biggest dope that ever lived. I said that to wake you up. I want you to wake up. It's night service. I know it's night service. I know you've been working hard all day. I've been working. I had to walk all the way around Fort something something this afternoon. All right, I'm tireder than you are. Get with me. I'll wake you up. I'm working harder than you ever worked today, so don't give me any of your lip. All right? Yeah, your preaching's hard, buddy. All right. All right, if the Apostle Paul, if the resurrection is not a reality, then why is Paul in prison? He believed it so strongly that he was willing to suffer and even go to jail and lose his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Notice what he said in verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Some things happened before the world began. He saved us. That's what he said. I got in trouble one time for saying we were saved before the world began. Well, if I'm wrong, then so is Paul. Because Paul said he saved us and called us with a holy calling before the world began. It was just as good as done before the world began. Because God purposed it to be done. All right? All that happened, taken care of. God provided this before the world ever began. It was that certain. It was that true. The resurrection was guaranteed before the world began. It just didn't become a reality when Christ was raised. Oh yes, it actually happened. It was then manifest that day. But before the world began, God declared there will be a resurrection. You know why? Because our Bible says he declared the end from the beginning. All right? Paul says, but is now, let's look at right now, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What we have right now is the gospel that doesn't save us eternally, but it tells us that we are saved. It reveals salvation. It brings it to life. It brings life to light. It brings immortality. I love that word, immortality. And it brings it to light. It says, you're going to live forever. I'll live on and on and on and on and on. Yesterday I was 18. This morning I was 40. Now I'm almost 47. But one day I'm going to live on and on and on. That's good. And I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to be with him forever. I'm going to be with the saints. I'm going to be in paradise. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm not going to have to fight and struggle and put up with all the stuff that goes on in this world and the devil that afflicts me. The devil is going to be toast. He's going to be in the lake of fire, and I'm not going to have to worry about him anymore. That sounds good to me. No more struggle. No more between faith and, you know, and what is not faith. And where does faith begin? And where does, you know, whatever we need to do begin? And all this struggle and all this confusion. One of these days, it's going to be clear. I'm going to see him not through a glass darkly. Take off these glasses and throw them away. And I'll see him better than I could ever dream. The gospel tells me about it, and it's for right now. That's why we need to come to church. You know what, beloved? We need to hear the gospel, and we need to believe the gospel. Not to get saved, but we ought to believe what the Lord tells us, because the gospel is God telling us that we're saved. All right, if someone doesn't believe what you say, you get mad at them, don't you? You think God gets a little upset when we don't believe what he says? Well, the gospel is God's declaration of salvation, telling us we're saved. And he gave it to us. You know, God didn't have to do that. God could have said, well, I'll just let them just go on, just spin their wheels, just make it somehow. Oh, I'll resurrect them, but, you know, it's up to them. No, I'll give them the church. I'll give them the gospel. I'll take care of them. That's for right now. And then in verse 12, he says, for which cause I suffer these things? Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Somebody ought to set that verse to music, don't you think? That'd make a good song. Wait a minute, it is. You ever think about that song? That's the verse, that's the chorus of a song we sing. Sometimes I sing it through the motions. Think about it. He says, I suffer these things. I suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. I'm not worried about it because I know whom I believed. But who are you? Who have you believed? In Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. I'm convinced. What are you convinced of, Paul? That he is able to keep or to preserve that which I've committed unto him against that day, against the last day, against the resurrection. I know he's going to deliver. He's not going to let me down on the last day. All right, when I was in college, if y'all are going to college, I am so sorry. I'm praying for you. I went to college. I graduated. And they forced us to read things. And you got to read them. You got to take a test on them. You got to pass. You got to go through them. All right, we had to read an essay called The Jilting of Granny Weatherall. I forget who wrote it. Some of you may have read it. And what it was the story about this old woman. She's on her deathbed, and she remembers a time when she was young, and she was jilted at the wedding altar by this man. And she griped about that all her life. Now she's on her deathbed, and she's dying. And she dies. Right before death takes her, she looked and there was absolutely nothing. And the last thought was, my, I'm jilted again. And that's the end of the story. Nice, isn't it? That story is bogus. It's a big lie. It's against the Bible. It's anti-Christ. It's anti-Scripture. We're not going to be jilted when we die. When we die, we'll see him. So I like this thought. When Stephen was being stoned to death, he looked up and he saw heaven open. And he saw the Son of Man standing, and he declared that. That was the last thing he ever saw in this life, was the Son of Man standing. You know the first thing he saw in eternity? The Son of Man standing. And he got to go right to the Son of Man. He wasn't jilted, was he? See, we're the bride of Christ. He has married us. We're already married to him. All right. There's no divorce. He has committed himself to us.
But Paul says, I know his people God committed. What have we committed? We've committed our faith and our trust and our hope to him. Because where is your faith? Where is your hope in? Where is your faith and where is your hope in? Where is it? Where is it? Is it in retirement? My dad says, I need to get a job to get some rest from this retirement. Is it in retirement? Because my mother is his boss now. If you know my mother, you ought to feel sorry for her. I love my mother. I love my mother. I love my mother. She mothered three preachers and another boy that's better than the other three. She's a wonderful woman. But she's a hard taskmaster. She has a nursery, see? And my poor dad's got to go and unload all these plants and put all these plants over here, move them over there and all that kind of stuff. And he needs a job to get some rest. All right, you got faith in retirement? You got faith and, you know, and just, what do we say? You're going to have enough money, you're just going to live, you know, off the interest, and you're always going to have enough. Not everything in this life is going to disappoint you. What do you think your body is going to disappoint you? All right, I'm with the city. I've been wearing glasses all my life. And I have to wear bifocals. That was a hard thing to admit. I'm wearing bifocals. But it's happening. One of these days, my beloved, I'm not going to be able to see. These eyes are going to go out. But I look forward to one of these days that I'll see in perfection. Now, one more scripture real quick. Since y'all have violated the Articles of Faith of Texas and do not have a clock in this building, and depending upon the Holy Ghost, I return to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, start reading in verse 18. For as much as you know that you will not redeem the corruptible things of silver and gold through their vain conference which you receive from tradition by your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's before. Think about it. Christ died for you. He could have just said that. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you. That's the right word. Manifest through the gospel to the Holy Ghost. Who by him do believe in God and raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope must be in God. Your faith and hope is that God raised him up, and because he's raised up, we will likewise